Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is episode 15. Here we are, episode 15. All right. As you know, I'm Jared Chaffett.
I'm Marcus Brower.
And we've got a guest this week. We've got a guest, Daniel Shepard. He is the, creator of PirateAnalysis.com. So, Daniel, welcome to the Boneyard Podcast. How's it going?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. We're the pleasure's all ours. So we're excited to have you. So for those of you listening, and you've been listening for the last 16 weeks, because we took that 1 week off there for the coronavirus when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. Exactly. Then we just said, all right, screw the coronavirus. We're going to do our own thing. We're just going to keep going. So we're going to have Daniel on today. He's going to join us for the whole podcast. So we're going to have three of us kind of in a guest host in a role, so that way we can just keep it going and keep it rolling all through the podcast. So, Daniel, what are your thoughts about where ECU is right now? Just right out the gate, ECU athletics, how do you feel the ECU athletics looks in the grand scheme of things?
I think it's, you know, kind of a tough spot financially. Obviously, we've heard about all the different things, you know, with the coronavirus and bad, you know, budgeting throughout the years. But, you know, in football specifically, I think, you know, you're trying to turn a corner. And I think that's a lot of sports at ECU are trying to turn that corner back to prominence that they had, you know, 5-10 years ago or what have you. But I think it's an exciting time just because, you know, rebuilds are always kind of exciting. You get to see young players and people make an impact. And I think, you know, in the next year or two, ECU will be back to being a force like it used to be.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And we've talked about this kind of ad nauseum on the podcast, talking about where we think ECU is going to be in the next 2 or 3 years. But I kind of wanted to start off also by asking you, so PirateAnalysis.com, kind of tell me where that idea came from and what you're doing with that.
Okay. I worked at the student newspaper for the last couple of years. I've been at ECU. This will be my second year starting as a student. And I've always wanted to do sports writing, but I didn't really want to stay with the paper just because, you know, I kind of had my own idea of what I wanted to do, content that I wanted to do. So I branched out. It'll be a month this week, actually, and started PirateAnalysis.com. Just as kind of my own thing, my own take on things, and doing it my own way. But it's just, you know, analytical articles, doing interviews with people, game recaps, hopefully when games get going again. Just being an all-around site for Pirate Sports is what my vision for it is.
And you cover everything ECU sports, football, basketball, baseball, the whole non-soccer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's kind of what we kind of had the similar idea of everybody covers – there's a lot of people covering ECU athletics. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to cover ECU athletics in a different way, right? So there's people that are covering them from the standpoint of, okay, this is how I look at it. These are people that are covering them, but they're looking at it through the eyes of somebody that graduated 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And right. I mean, you're a young guy, you're still a student. Me and Artie, we're both recent graduates. So we both graduated in 2017. Artie, you were 2018. So, I mean, we're young grads, right? We're still, I mean, we could still get the ECU Pirate Club recent alum discount. So, I mean, that's kind of what we did. We wanted to start this podcast for people that are in the same demographic as us, young ECU alumni. If we have other people that listen, that's awesome. Just know that we're going to come at it from a different perspective. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing also, Daniel. So that's awesome. Yeah,
I don't think you can ever have too many different voices, you know, talking about the same thing or putting their own spin on it. So.
And also, I don't think ECU really gets enough attention or enough voices.
They don't.
You know, I feel like right. Our podcast, I mean, you have a few other people out there that are kind of broadcasting ECU sports. But to the extent of some of these other schools, they don't really get the notoriety or the attention that they deserve. So I think it's very good that we're doing this. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the those of you that are listening know, I mean, I've already talked about, I've worked with people inside of the media around Greenville and worked in that. I mean, I used to work for Tech as well. I used to work for the East Carolinian, in a much different role than a writer, but I worked for them and I saw the things that were going on there. So, I mean, all of it is kind of that same like-minded stuff. You may have a little different take here and there, but very rarely do you have something that's off the wall, kind of like, well, maybe we're going to come with every once in a while. Because I know Artie, he's the one that's always off the wall, and I'm the one that's straight and level-headed.
Straight and narrow, man. I'm always going on rants.
Yeah, Artie's the one that always goes on rants. But, yeah, well, let's go ahead and get into some ECU talk. So, I don't know if everybody saw this. I'm sure you did. It was kind of quiet. Usually these things are big things. I remember, like, I was scrolling through Twitter, and that's how I found out about it. ECU has added a non-conference opponent for the 2023 schedule. So, we've added Gardner Webb. So, everybody, guess what? We get to play Gardner Webb.
So,
College game day coming to Greenville. There you go. There it is. Just kidding. So Gardner Webb, that big name opponent that everybody was looking for the 2023 schedule. Daniel, what's your take on this, man?
Well, you know, it'll be the second time ever that ECU's played them, right? So, you know, last year being the first time. But, you know, John Gilbert said that, you know, they've had a hard time kind of filling that last vacancy for the 2023 schedule. And I think this was kind of almost a last resort type thing. To fill with Gardner Webb there being an FCS opponent. But, you know, who knows where Gardner Webb will be at in 2023 and what kind of challenge they'll provide. So it'll be interesting to see, like I said, where they're at and where ECU's at in 2023.
And, you know, all things considered, our non-conference schedule in 2023 is pretty excellent.
It's a good one.
Really looking at it, at Michigan.
Yep.
All right, that's probably going to be the biggest game in program history.
I don't know, that 2008 West Virginia game.
Well, yeah, going to the big house, being on national television, people are going to watch. People that don't know about ECU are going to watch that game. Just the same way that App State went up to Ann Arbor and watched that, you know, people watched that game. So I definitely think that's going to be the biggest game in program history. And then you've got the rivalry Newton Marshall. You know, we're going to play Marshall that year. Got App State going to Boone to play App State, which is an in-state rivalry that should be bigger than what it is.
Don't get me started on that.
So, you know, all things considered, our 2023 schedule, non-conference schedule, is pretty excellent.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be one of those schedules where by that time we should be able to compete, mm-hmm. and at least compete with Michigan. I know when we scheduled that game, everybody thought, okay, this is going to be a pushover game for Michigan. Well, Mike Houston's really turning this team around and really building something great.
No, ECU should absolutely be good.
Yeah, that's not going to be a gimme game.
Yeah.
That is not at all going to be a gimme game. So I'm looking forward to it. I know Artie and I, we've already said that we're going to...
I'll be there.
We'll be there.
And you know why I'll be there, personal reasons, but I'll be there.
Artie, so Daniel, Artie is a Michigan man. This guy, like, I don't fully get it. He's from Chicago, but he's a Michigan man at heart.
Die hard.
Like, I see this guy rocking the maize and blue every once in a while. I'm like, God bless, dude. Like, take that shit off. But
well, if he's from Chicago, I got to ask the question. Is he a White Sox or a Cubs fan?
White Sox.
I'm Southside, baby.
Southside all day. I'm sorry.
Now, that's not to say I don't root for the Cubs. They're still a Chicago-based team, but I am.
I've actually got my Cubs shirt on right here. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. For those of you watching the Boneyard podcast, which that should be nobody because we don't have a video portion, Daniel just showed us his Chicago Cubs World Series championship shirt.
That is absolute respect.
Daniel, did you watch I know this is kind of an older documentary. Did you watch the documentary about Steve Bartman?
I did. Yep.
Yeah. I'd never seen it. And I watched it this past week, and it was on, I think, this last weekend. So that was kind of cool seeing that. I had never watched that documentary. It's a really cool kind of.
It's a very good documentary.
Kind of cool take. And then the other documentary, the one about Chasing Summer. or whatever, the one with
the one this last weekend with Sosa and McGuire.
That was good. I wish they would have done a little bit different with it, but oh well. But yeah, we won't hold the Cubs against you. I'm a Braves fan, so we got Chip Carey calling games down now here in Atlanta or in A-Town. I don't know. He's all right. we won't get into talking about commentators, but yeah. So I think the Gardner Webb going back to ECU talk. I think the Gardner Webb deal is a good one. I wouldn't mind seeing them added to our schedule every so often, every once in a while going forward. I think that's one of those good FCS opponents that you schedule in and you pencil in for your homecoming, because as we'll talk about later, I mean, conference realignment will be coming up eventually, and that's what power conferences do. You schedule these FCS opponents for your homecoming. That way you can still get a bunch of people to those games.
And I'm also seeing way down the line in 2028, we're trying to schedule a Boise State game. I think that'd be very interesting too. I see NC State, Boise State, and Wake Forest in 2028.
Yep. So those are already set in stone. I mean, you can look. I love looking at like schedules in the future, way in the future. I mean, 2026, you got Appalachian State at Boise State, and then West Virginia is supposed to come down into the thick.
I didn't even see Boise State in 2026.
So yeah, I mean, we've got these things that are scheduled out. We've got that. We talked about a couple weeks ago. We've got a six-game series against Old Dominion, which is, I think, a genius signing from John Gilbert and the ECU football staff. I think that is an awesome series. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of those things that it's a regional, but it's one of those games where they can beat somebody, and they're not just a pushover. So they're gonna help your RPI. They're gonna help all of that. Your strength of schedule.
Old Dominion is pretty consistent as a football program.
Yeah.
They usually win 6 to 7, 8 games per game.
And then they beat Virginia Tech a couple years ago, which we always love when people beat Virginia Tech, don't we? and then they turned right around the next week and lost to us. So that was great under Scotty Montgomery. So that one of Scotty Montgomery's 9 wins. That's great. So Artie, last week we talked about Alec Burleson, switching things up. Alec Burleson, guys, we talked last week, he got drafted 70th overall. It was a second-round compensation pick by the Cardinals. So Burley is signing with the Cardinals. He's going to join Chris Holba and Evan Krasinski in that Cardinals organization. He signed for $700,000. That's not chump change when you're 22-year-old.
Not chump change, but, you know, athlete. Some of those guys get a lot bigger contracts than that, too. So.
But considering the climate that we're in, I'm sure he will be happy with that.
I would not complain if somebody wanted to give me $700,000.
So that kind of got me thinking, Daniel, who are you thinking will kind of be able to step up and say, okay, I'm taking – Alec's role, I'm gonna try to fill those big shoes that he left here in Greenville. Who would you say would be that person?
You know, it'd be kind of hard because, you know, he was a two-way guy, but I think at least on offense, you know, you've got Bryson Worrell.
Yep.
Who was looking real good at the end of the 2020 season before it got canceled. Thomas Francisco will be a junior. He'll probably be the everyday first baseman next year. But, you know, during the preseason and in the fall, you could see Burley and, you know, freshman Carson Wisenhunt, you know, they were hanging out together and talking and working out together. And Wisenhunt, you know, is a two-way guy, you know, pitch, and he can play first base. He's a lefty. So I think there's a lot of similarities between those two. Obviously, it'll be, you know, another year or two before he fully blossoms into a standout college player. But I think, you know, given the same profile as Burley, I think Carson Wisenhunt could be a cool guy to keep an eye on. But, you know, I see – Worrell and Francisco really leading the offense next year.
Yeah, I think those are some good names to follow up Burley with. I think those are guys that they've already made an impact in the ECU baseball unit, but I think they have some room to grow and really be that impact player, because that's what Burley was. He kind of off the field, you could tell at times. He wasn't a loud and boisterous guy, but He was, I mean, on the field, he was fiery. He made it happen. He was that go-to. He was that fire starter, that spark plug in the lineup that he could do it all. And I mean, that's going to be hard to replace, but I know with Cliff Godwin and the recruiting class that we brought in, yeah, we're going to lose. What was that guy's name? Keon. His name Conan slipped.
Moreno.
Yeah. Moreno. Yeah. Keon Moreno. Losing him. I mean, a big pitcher coming in from Raleigh, but he's going to go to your Cubbies. I reached out to him and he was like, yeah, I'm forever a Pirate, even if I didn't come. So, and hopefully one of those guys that will be a long list of guys that maybe didn't make it here in Greenville, didn't make it to Greenville, but they'll be those guys that they make it big, and we can always say what if.
There's a couple of ECU guys right now that are, you know, about to bust into the majors that were committed that didn't actually show up on campus, but they were committed. Mackenzie Gore.
Oh yeah.
He's the Padres' top prospect right now. So,
yeah. And I mean, with expanded rosters, I mean, this year, cause I think they're going to carry 26, in MLB. I mean, you got to think about it. Like he's going to have a real chance at making the team and making it straight out. I mean, that's going to be really great to see. Especially because they're going to start talking about where you can't manipulate that service time. I think you'll eventually see a bunch of these guys really come in and take hold a spot in rotations or a spot in the lineup that you usually wouldn't see come in as soon as these guys do. I mean, Mackenzie Gore is only, 20 years old, if that. I mean, he just graduated 2 years ago from Whiteville High School. Down in Whiteville. So, I mean, that's one of those things that what if, I mean, I'm not going to say anything. I think Mackenzie Gore is a great guy. I know he comes back and still works out at ECU and with some of those guys. But I will say, Artie, I will say this on MLB The Show this week, I went deep off of him twice. So, big lefty, coming at you with the heat, and then I just took that thing over the wall. But yeah, so that's Burleson. I mean, I think that's a great fit for him. I've talked to Krasinski a little bit about it, and I know you reached out to Evan Krasinski also. He's talking about how he wants to really be kind of lend a wing and take Burleson under his wing and really raise up some of these other Pirates through the Cardinals organization. Talking to Evan Krasinski, I mean, that was good to see. Good to see that there's still that commitment to other guys coming from the program from some of these alumni. Did you get anything out? I know you talked to Evan a little bit. Did you get anything out of that conversation with him?
I think, you know, with all the uncertainty around the coronavirus and these guys not being able to work out, it's good for Burley to have, you know, somebody he can lean on to give him advice, you know, about what the minor league process is like, and a guy in Evan Krasinski that he, you know, had an interaction with his freshman fall, and a guy that he, you know, knows personally, and somebody he can, you know, just ask advice about, you know, what to do and where to go and who to talk to get the best, you know, out of his minor league experience. I think that's important. And then you throw on top, you know, like I said, the coronavirus, it's kind of throwing a kink into everything, and it's just making it that much more important to have friendly faces around to lean on.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's going to be some impact seen across sports from the pro level to high school and even college level. I probably should have said those in the other order, college level and then high school level. I mean, you're going to see these guys that are having to make kind of those last second decisions on what they want to do. Do they want to go to college? Do they want to spend some time there and then rather than try to go pro, because they know that there's going to be more of a logjam now trying to go into the pros over the next couple of years. So hopefully what I'm hoping to see in college baseball and college sports in general, I'm hoping you'll start to see some guys that are staying and coming to the university and staying a little bit longer. getting back to those old days where everybody was staying 3 or 4 years. I know you have to in baseball and football, but in basketball, maybe that'll also be an impact, is you're going to start seeing these guys stay longer because there's not going to be as much money to spend on these guys, on these draft picks. Artie, would you have a take on that? No. So, yeah. Then moving along, I think that we all know that Burleson had that huge impact. I think it's enough to be said. But I think next year really is that Omaha or bust. So Daniel, does it happen next year?
I think it could have happened this year if the season hadn't gone canceled. I mean,
I agree.
They were really getting hot there, but yeah, there were minor, minor people drafted from ECU, you know, Burley being the kind of centerpiece there, but you know, a lot of it's still intact, and you bring in the recruiting class, and you know, there's going to be a lot of talent on the roster next year. So I think they, you know, they get close. You know, once you get to the postseason and deep into that, it's kind of a toss up. You know, who plays better in baseball is kind of a sport like that. It's kind of random, you know. But I think next year we have a great shot at it. Yeah.
Cool. And I was just listening to what you just said. Someone who's not like a real baseball guy, like myself, is it really Omaha or bust for next season? I mean, are we that close to really knocking on the door for, you know, college World Series?
I think so. With the pitching staff that we have coming in next year, with Gavin Williams, Smith, and then Cooch Maynard, those three guys holding it down on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, those are going to be your three weekend guys. And I mean, those guys, I mean, everybody expected Gavin Williams to go ahead of Burleson in the draft, and he didn't even get picked up. And he said that he wasn't going to sign undrafted because they had a max cap of $20,000 per signee for an undrafted free agent. So yeah, that's he knew that he was worth more than that. He's going to come back to Greenville, and he's going to make an impact with the Pirates again. And I think that as we go into next year, we've still got the bats. The boys can hit them, and they can hit them far. And now we've got the arms. Everybody's kind of ready. They're going to have a whole nother year. They're not going to be putting in all that stress on their arms. They're not going to be eating into those heavy innings. I think next year is the chance that we see, okay, these guys are going to roll into Omaha and they're going to make some noise.
And I would say it's time, right? I mean, it's time for Pirate Nation to be able to rally behind a team that can actually legitimately, you know, compete for a championship. You know what I mean? It's been a long time since we've been able to rally behind a good program.
Yeah, and I think last year we had that behind the ECU baseball team. And Daniel, I know it was your first year covering them, but would you say the same thing, that last, not this shortened season, but the year before when we went to the regionals and then went to the super regionals against Louisville, would you say that that's really like, the fans rally behind that team like crazy? I mean, sure. They come out in droves.
They do.
For the even the Wednesday night games, the Tuesday night games, those midweek games.
A few baseball games I went to, they were out there in numbers.
And, I mean, it is a blast. But would you say
ECU baseball is constantly ranked, you know, high up there on attendance numbers. You know, I think if they had 10,000 seats in that stadium, they could probably fill them pretty constantly. But, yeah, people in Greenville and a lot of people I've talked to, they really seem to like their baseball, and baseball definitely seems to be, you know, high on the priority list at DCU. A lot of invested in it. A lot of people right next, you know, right behind football. And that's saying something, I think, in Greenville, that baseball is right behind football in popularity. So, yeah, I think there'll always be fan support there for ECU baseball.
Yeah, I mean, considering that North Carolina is a basketball state, the fact that baseball – I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but the fact that baseball either comes close or exceeds basketball is huge for ECU. I mean, it just goes to show.
No, it absolutely exceeds basketball.
So, yeah, I mean, it's
especially on ECU's campus. It absolutely exceeds basketball.
I mean, they're willing to spend this money. They're sending the team out. They're not going to do it as much anymore with all the regional scheduling that's going to start happening. But, I mean, over the last couple of years, we played at UCLA, we played at Washington University. I think we played at BYU 1 year. Like, these schools, we were making, like, those spring break trips, we were going way out there and playing and playing some big name teams that, I mean, I think we were supposed to play Michigan 1 year or something like that. Like, go up there. They were supposed to come down here. I know they came down for the Keith LeClair Classic a couple years ago. But, yeah, that's – ECU baseball is kind of the pride and joy of ECU. That's always been that thing that even through coaching changes and even through the years when we could have had downturns, we didn't see that. We had that 1 year, I think 2016, when you had a bunch of guys get hurt. I remember like two or three guys like Duane Williamson got hurt sliding into a second base at Campbell on the AstroTurf. Like, terrible. Like, that was supposed to be the year. The year before, we were, what, 90 feet from going to Omaha? And then we don't make it. And then the next year, like, we have pretty much the same team and everybody gets hurt. So, yeah, I think the bad luck is finally, like, knock on wood, the bad luck is going to finally run out and we're going to go to Omaha. And like I've said, we're going to make some noise. And I know we'll be there. Daniel, will you be there?
I hope to. Yeah, I'd really, really like to be there.
I get this. So when we were 90 feet from Omaha, like, I was like looking up how long of a drive it was. I was like, I'm about to go. Like, I wasn't even talking to my, at that time I was like 19 years old. I wasn't talking to my parents, wasn't talking to my girlfriend, now my wife. I was just saying, like, we've got to go. Yeah. So I was just going to go. I was going to do it all on my own. And then, like, we kind of filtered out and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I had the hotel reservation, like, ready to go. All I needed to hit was book. All I had to do was hit book. And I just was like, you've got to be shitting me. Like, this is the worst possible thing that could happen. I put that up there with that UCF Hail Mary. Like,
ooh, yeah. I don't even know why you brought that up, man. That's,
yeah, sorry, guys. Have you seen all of these guys, y'all, from all these campuses getting tested for the coronavirus, all these athletes? Mm-hmm. I saw, what was it, 23 from LSU testing from LSU, positive.
I think 13 from Texas.
Some from Alabama. Yeah,
there's some guys from USC that tested.
I mean, Marshall, that Houston first
had to shut down their camps.
Yep. Marshall, I know, had 9 guys at first test positive. Luckily, from everything that we've seen, nobody has tested positive at ECU's camp.
Or they've just kept it in-house. They haven't said anything about it.
Well, you've got enough guys out there to see that. If somebody's not there, you would be able to tell that somebody's not there. Yeah. You've got another
big wave of players coming in tomorrow. Sounds like, to campus. Yep. So they'll be testing them tomorrow, probably tomorrow and Tuesday.
So. I saw, like, Ryan Stubblefield's coming in. I think Mason Garcia's coming in tomorrow. So a bunch of these guys are coming in for this second wave. And if we can get them in and get them and, like, make sure that they're all healthy when they get here, that's the thing. I was watching the PGA tournament earlier this week, and that's what they were talking about. They were like, once we got in and we saw that everybody was, like, clean – they were like, all right, everybody's clean. We're going to keep y'all all together. Like, you're only going to be with each other. You're not really going out and doing everything because all the meals are paid for. Right. So they're like, we're not really worried about them. So I'm hoping that's going to hopefully be the same thing at ECU will be, that you don't have to be as worried about it because everybody's clean when they get here.
But even, I mean, and that's great that nobody is tested positive at ECU. But there's still a 12-game schedule that you have to go out and play, and you can't guarantee that every other, you know, university, every other campus is doing the same thing that we're doing. So it's like, how are we going to progressively have a season? All we can really control is us, right?
Yeah.
And so how are we going to actually progressively have this season social distance, but we're playing football or we're playing basketball or we're doing whatever, but we're going to social distance, but we're still going to play these sports? I feel like there's going to have to be some sort of – we're going to have to accept the fact that these things are here, people are going to test positive. Yes, we're trying to play in a bubble, but I just don't see a 100% accuracy rate. You know, if the season starts on time, I don't think every college football team is going to be ready as far as not having any players with coronavirus.
So what you're saying is ECU national champions are paused. All right. We're the next UCF. Win some games and call ourselves the national champions.
I just feel like there's a calculated risk you're going to have to accept.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to go ahead and have the season.
And I think that we'll probably see that. I don't know about y'all. I've said from the get-go, I think that we're going to have a season. I think it's going to start on time. Will we have fans? Probably not a full capacity, but I think.
Oh, no, I don't think there's going to be any fans, to be honest with you. At this point, I don't think they're going to allow fans.
Really?
I don't see it. Just because of what's happened in the recent weeks. I mean, we're in June. We're just now getting guys back on campus, and now all these guys are getting coronavirus.
Well, not at ECU.
But it doesn't matter. That's the point. These guys still have to go out and play on the team. It's not ECU versus ECU.
Yeah.
So.
I could see them letting season ticket holders in. You know, regular tickets are not on sale right now, but season tickets, you know, they've sold over 10,000 already. I think they could let them in and social distance them without too much problems. So.
Yeah, you should be able to. I mean, usually fit 50 to 55,000 in there. You can definitely fit 10,000 even on the first level and still social distance. Mm-hmm. And those 10,000 will be loud as shit. I guarantee you.
I think that's great, but if I'm being honest, I don't think you're really preventing anything. If you're going to go ahead and let 10,000 people in the stands, you're not really preventing the spread of coronavirus. That's all I'm saying.
I think that by that time we will either have a vaccine, which, to be honest, I'm probably not taking the first vaccine. I don't know if I trust it. Russia or China or Bill Gates, whoever's making it. I don't know if I'm going to trust that with all the other things going on in the world. But, I mean, I think by then we'll be closer to having a vaccine. I think we'll I'm hoping we'll have one by September, October. I don't really know. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Daniel, do you know I'm not a scientist?
Yeah,
none of us here are scientists, but
not even close.
Just you would think they would have to be able to get one by then. I mean, put somebody in there from ECU med sciences and things like that, and I'm sure we'll have a cure for this thing in the next couple months. Put somebody in there from NC State biology or whatever, and we might all just die. So Daniel, you think I saw that? I mean, we're probably going to see that season ticket holders are going to be there, at the least. What do you think that atmosphere will be like if that's just the case, if it's just the season ticket holders?
I think it's going to be strange just because, you know, these conditions are kind of unprecedented for everybody. But like you said, you know, I think those 10,000 are going to be as loud as possible. And who knows if they're going to let people from other, you know, the opposing team, their fans come in or how that's going to look. But, if those 10,000 are dispersed around the stadium, I think, it'll be as loud as they can possibly get. And
that leads into another question. Do you let the band in? How does that work?
Right.
Do you just station them?
The band can't really social distance if they're going to be the band. You
social distance them across the boneyard.
But even in their performances.
I mean, you don't have halftime performances at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're all students, so they're going to be living in the same dorm room or within, you know, the same vicinity of each other that way. So it makes sense to not social distance them, you know, in the dorm room or in class or something like that, but to do it at a football game. So that doesn't make much sense to me, but I don't know what their plans are going to be.
I mean, what you could do, instead of having them do the formations on the field, just line them up on each of the 5 yard lines. So you have 5, 10, 15, and then.
And to be completely honest, a lot of states, you know, state governments and the federal government might just say screw it and just open back up. I mean, we're seeing a bunch of states opening back up anyway, and it's June. So by September, October, you know, who knows where we're going to be.
I think at the start of the season, I don't see a full stadium, but I think by October, mid-October, that weekend game that I think we play, UCF on a Thursday night in October. By that time, that game might have 55,000 people in it, that UCF-ECU game. Don't hold me to that. I'm not Governor Cooper. I'm not the person calling that. But that would not surprise me in the slightest if we have a full stadium in October. But we'll just have to see. I think Governor Cooper is supposed to announce this week some – whether we're going to move forward, whether we're going to take a step back, whether we're just going to take like a half step forward, half step back. So I'll be interested to see what he says. I mean, NCAA has put together that 6-week workout plan to get teams ready for the season. And I think that we'll be ready to go. And I think things look up. Maybe that's just the optimist in me, but I think we'll have some people there. And I hope we'll be there either as fans or as media, Artie.
Absolutely.
So that's the hopes for us. Let me pull up my notes here. I know we were going to talk about recruiting news, Daniel.
Not too much going on.
There's not much going on. we've seen a lot.
We made a lot of noise in the last few weeks, so you know,
it's
expected that we'd slow down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it, all these guys that are putting us in their top 10, and you can't help but get excited. I know we lost out to Illinois on one recruit. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I know we lost out to them on, I think he was a wide receiver out of Florida. So, yeah, I mean, we've got some guys. I know Steven Igo wrote an article this past week about a JUCO wide receiver that has actually worked with Alex Flynn, one of our backup quarterbacks. So he was excited about that. I'm trying to pull the guy's name up. Daniel, what's your take on the recruiting that we've seen so far for the 2021 class?
I'm really impressed by it. You know, I think just for ECU to be in the discussion for a lot of those guys, top five, top tens, like you mentioned, you know, says a lot for Houston and his staff on the recruiting trail. You know, I know that the 2020 class is really strong. All these transfers that they've brought in from these Power Five schools, I'll be really interested to see how they fill holes and how they contribute this year.
Yeah, I think that they'll be able to make an impact fairly quickly as long as they're all healthy, or as long as they're healthy. I think a bunch of them are on campus, those transfer guys. I think they're already on campus, which is great. But I don't really see any of these guys. It's been a slow time for recruiting for ECU on the high school level. And that's to be expected. It's kind of been a slow time. Some schools are really making an impact. Right now I saw those Puppies in Raleigh. They've got like 4 or 5 recruits just in this last week. Mm-hmm. They all looked like they were kind of beefcakes and just walking around, not really doing anything. But they didn't look like a strong recruiting class, but they've got a lot of commitments coming in. But I think the new transfer rules will really have an impact on that. I think people are going to start, they're going to start committing, but they're not going to actually either make it or they're not going to fully commit. I see a lot of guys saying, oh, I'm committed, but my recruitment's still open because I want to take my visits. So that's something that we're seeing across the board. I know, I think it was Javonte Sherman said that the same thing, an ECU commit out of Valdosta, Georgia. That's kind of what we're seeing.
Now, real quick, the graduate transfers that we've picked up, Do you have one in mind that you see is going to make, or who would you think that's going to make the biggest impact from the graduate transfer positions that we've gotten so far? And this is a question for the both of you.
Daniel, I'll let you handle that one first.
Okay. I think Chase Hayden, the running back, has a good shot to earn the starting role. You know, out of camp or out of the preseason. But you got, you know, Avery Jones is the offensive lineman out of North Carolina. Like ECU is, you know, going to be a little bit more weak at offensive line than they expected to be going into this offseason. So I think it'll be good to get him and Justin Chase. He's from NC State. So get them two guys in there. They'll probably see significant reps along the offensive line. But them two and Chase Hayden at the running back position, I think, pique my interest the most.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that Chase Hayden come in and really make an impact. I think he's going to have a great impact on that backfield, the running back room. I think that's going to be cool to see him kind of take over. And then really just kind of thinking about it, I mean, I think that Justin Chase, I think that he's going to add some grit to that line. I mean, I think that you've got to think that he's going to really come in and make an impact. And he knows what ECU is about. He's played them, twice now in his career, three times in his career, I think. So, I mean, he knows what ECU is about. He's seen us before. Now he's got to see us play under Coach Houston, even though that was not a fun game for an ECU fan, but he got to see, okay, this is the mentality that they bring to the game. They're a tough, hard-nosed team, even when they're down. So that's what Coach Houston brings, and he knows that coming in, and I think that's good to see somebody commit that we've played before because they see, okay, there's some happenings here that I can go to. Artie, what would you say?
I like the Chase pick. I think he's going to be excellent for us. Nigel Knott, though, that's probably the one I'm the most interested in. Just because, you know, we just had a starting corner and Colby Gore graduate. Daniel Charles, he entered the transfer portal. Was one of our starting safeties from last season. And so he's gonna have a real good opportunity to go in and compete. Now, we do have Jaquan McMillan, who was a freshman All-American last year. Very, very excited about
that guy. Is a stud.
Yeah, absolute stud.
Yep.
So he's gonna, you know, he's gonna have some stiff competition, but I'm very interested to see Nigel Knott go in and see if he can compete for a starting role opposite of Jaquan. I've been preaching this for weeks. Our defense needs a win. You know, offensively, I think we're gonna be fine. I really don't think
Offense is gonna put up some gaudy numbers.
Yeah, just gaudy numbers. But defensively, we need a win, and we need guys that are you know, head busters, as one of my old coaches would say. So I'm very interested to see Nigel Knott and see if he's gonna transition into our defense well.
Yeah, and another guy that, I mean, looking at it, I think Ryan Jones coming in, the last guy I know, he was a linebacker at OU, but seeing that, I mean, when Mike Houston came into ECU, we only had, I think, one tight end on the roster. Now we've got so many. This guy was, I mean, he was recruited at Al High School as a tight end. He's got the size. He's got the build. And I mean, I think he's got the ability to really make some noise coming out from the tight end position. He'll be able to block. He knows how to block some of those linebackers now that he's been a linebacker. Mm-hmm. He'll be able to step up there and add some protection to Holt Naylor so he can get in and make those passes downfield. I think that's really exciting to see those guys. And that kind of covers one of the questions we had from Emma, one of our Twitter questions. So we kind of jumped the gun on Twitter questions. But, Emma, there's the answer. Those are the guys that we think are going to have the greatest impact this year, and a lot of those guys have 2 years of eligibility left, and they're immediately eligible. So that, I mean, that's the thing that like excites me the most. These guys are eligible right now.
Yep.
They're gonna come in, and a lot of them are gonna play that first game against Marshall. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. That's what I'm excited about. I don't know, Artie, did you see that Coach Blake Harrell liked our tweet when we said, hey, do that thing or do the thing. So one of the safeties.
I did not see that he liked
one of the – so friend of the podcast, former guest, Blake Harrell, absolutely, defensive coordinator for ECU. We tweeted at him saying, hey, do the thing, because one of the top safeties in the country from LSU has immediate eligibility, has entered the transfer portal. I said, do the thing. Do the thing. Let's bring him here.
Absolutely.
Just trade out the purple and gold for some more purple and gold, baby. Here we go. Bring it to Greenville. Call us DBU, baby. DBU.
Shot in the dark, but why not go for it, right?
Why not? I mean, they've had success elsewhere bringing in these top transfers. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and try it again. I mean, try it. I mean, you've got guys coming in from Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma. These guys have played each other. I mean, you got the Carolina, the NC State. These guys have played each other. They already know each other. Mm-hmm. They've played against each other several times. Now they're all coming into ECU, and guess what? They're boys. They know how to rock because they've been rocking in the SEC and the ACC. Well, the ACC doesn't really rock other than Clemson, but that's that's another thing. We won't even talk about the ACC.
That used to be good.
Yeah, it used to be. I mean, when you have Syracuse taking Clemson to the brink, and actually, did they beat Clemson?
Well, to Syracuse's credit, they've got a good head coach. I forget his name, but they got a
legitimate, they got a good head coach, but nobody knows him.
Head coach, they do. He's pretty good up there. But yeah, the ACC is kind of fun.
Yeah, the ACC, Daniel, this is a ACC hate podcast other than
our, I don't hate the ACC.
Nah, fuck the ACC. ACC.
We live in Greensboro, Jared. This is literally the birthplace of the ACC.
I don't give a shit. Do you think I care anything about the ACC? I was a freaking ball boy when I was in elementary school for Wake Forest. Does that mean anything? No, it doesn't mean jack squat.
It doesn't mean anything. You're just a ball boy.
Well, yeah, I was part of the Junior Demon Deacons. I mean, I was, hey, tie-dye nation, baby, but guess what? No more. What was that guy, Riley, quarterback for Wake Forest that they had?
Skinner was
Riley Skinner, yeah. I mean, great quarterback, Jim Grobe. I have a, Daniel, get this. Maybe I'll be able to find it for y'all. Maybe if I can go back in my pictures and find it. I have a picture of me and Jim Grobe when I was like 12. Outside, Wake Forest had like a game the next day or something, and so they were having like a team bonding event. They went to the movie theater, and I was at the movies coming out, and here comes this Wake Forest bus, the whole team, everybody get off the bus. You got 100 guys. Jim Grobe, Riley Skinner, like all this. This is the year they went to the Orange Bowl. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, there's the Wake Forest football team.
Here comes little Jared running with his tie-dye.
I'm like, yo, 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 yo. And I got a picture with – there's a picture of me and Jim Grobe standing outside of the movie theater in Winston-Salem.
Is he still coaching?
Yeah, he is. He, I think so. Didn't he go to Baylor for a little bit?
I don't know. I have no idea where he's at.
Daniel, do you know anything about Jim Grobe? I'm doing some quick research. let's see. Jim Grobe is currently, let's see what he's doing now. Is American football coach. He is, I don't know where he is. He was recently the head coach at Baylor. Is he not?
San Antonio defensive coordinator.
San Antonio. What the fuck is a San Antonio Commander?
University of Texas at San Antonio.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
That's probably one of the. That's probably like an XFL team or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's what Jim Grobe's been doing. I mean, he spent some time at Wake Forest and then he resigned and then got hired at Baylor a couple years later, and then I think they didn't really do that great, and then.
Shout out Jim Grobe. We got a 2-minute, shout out on the Boneyard podcast.
Jim Grobe, names that you wouldn't think you would hear on the Boneyard podcast, but guess what? You heard them here this week on this episode. So yeah, I think we're doing good on commitments. I think we'll see some more guys, and but I wouldn't be surprised. Don't get too excited about this recruiting class because, like I said, these guys with the coronavirus, they may not be fully committed. It's not until they sign that it's time to get excited about the about this class. Would you say the same thing, Artie? Would you say that that's how you feel about the recruiting class?
What's that?
That you're not going to really be excited until these guys actually sign and start coming to campus.
Yeah, yeah. Until they step on campus as Pirates, that's when that's when the excitement will really – because these guys, they can switch up at any point in time.
That's the thing about committing, and I can go on a rant about, oh, here's my top 27 schools. Mm-hmm. Like, bruh, we don't care. Just give us your top five.
You know, you commit the one off of one good night that you had, talking to a coach or something like that, and then you realize, I don't really want to go here, I want to go somewhere else.
You find out the coach likes your mom's green beans, and then you're like, hey, coach, I'm coming to you because you like the same green beans that I like. Like, I mean, that's what it is. I mean,
yeah, once these guys sign on the dotted line and they actually show up and they're purple and gold, that's when the excitement will happen.
Yeah, like in past years, you can see what I like to see is when a recruiting class can start meshing together. They all start a group chat. They all start reaching out to each other. When you see that recruiting class get together and become tight before even really meeting each other, before they come to Greenville, mm-hmm. That's when you get excited. That's when it's like, okay, these guys are close. These guys are ready to rock when they get here, and they're going to make an impact right away. Yep. We've seen that over the last couple of years, but haven't really seen it this year yet. So let's, y'all want to do some Twitter questions?
Let's get to it.
So like I said, we already had the one that Artie talked about earlier.
I didn't even know that Emma had asked that question on Twitter.
Come on, man.
Just thinking about that.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Emma, for asking the question. So that just shows great minds think alike, Emma, cause you thought the same question that Artie thought, and he had it come off the top of his head. So Petey asks, okay, our boy Petey, he goes, FMK, fuck, marry, kill, all right? Rivalry edition, NC State, Carolina, or Marshall? And some can say that, I mean, Marshall's a rival, but, like, there's some others that I would also consider, like your UCF, old-time Southern Miss. I mean, that's another big rivalry, but those were the three he mentioned. NC State, UNC, and Marshall. I guess Marshall's just kind of the topical choice with us playing them week zero. Fuck, marry, kill. All right, Daniel, you want to go first? You want to take a crack at it first, or?
Yeah. How are you wanting to do this again?
Yeah. So when I read the question, I thought, okay, this means which. So if you kill it, this is the rivalry that, like,
that you care least about.
Like, okay. This is the rivalry that you're just like, all right, screw that rivalry.
Like, the fuck is the one that you like beating the most.
Yeah, and then Mary is, I don't know, because, yeah, fuck would be the one you like beating the most, and then Mary is the one that, like, it brings joy or whatever to
every time you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
All right. Damn it, Petey.
I'd probably, kill, I guess, Marshall, right, in my mind.
Yeah.
F NC State, and then marry North Carolina.
Okay. I could see that. Artie.
I'm with him on the F NC State because I love beating NC State. I'm probably gonna marry Marshall, just because I think that's a gentleman's rivalry, and I appreciate every time we play Marshall. And I'm gonna kill Carolina because I have no respect for Carolina.
Yeah. While also being a Michigan man, Artie is also a Duke fan, like a Duke diehard. We don't hold it against him, but that Duke's his basketball team.
That's my team, man. That's my squad.
J.J. Redick and some of those other guys.
J.J., Kyrie.
Kyrie.
The Plumleys.
Plumlee, oh my God, all three of them. Amazing. Love the Plumlee brothers.
Hey, Chris Paul all day. CP3, Tim Duncan.
There you go, Joey Forrest.
All right, so for me, geez. All right, so I'm gonna kill the Marshall one.
Okay.
I'm gonna kill Marshall. This is tough. I'm gonna marry. I'm actually gonna marry NC State.
Wow.
On this, because I just love the joy. Like, I could take the joy all the time of talking shit to NC State, and I hate those.
So that's the rivalry you want to last the longest.
Cause yeah.
You want to be able to beat NC State.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say fuck Chapel Hill. So, yeah. And I, guys, I'm married to a UNC alum. So,
proud UNC alum. She loves her school.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves, we don't hold that against her in my family. That UNC thing. But, I gotta say, I can't marry the UNC thing, but, cause I've already done that once. But yeah, I'll marry the state rivalry. Cause I can keep screwing state if I marry them. All right. Next question comes from, my good friend and Artie's good friend, Brandon Avery.
Shout out, Brandon.
What up, Brandon?
I gotta get Brandon on the show.
Man. Yeah. I thought about it, coming up in the next couple of weeks, having Brandon on. Brandon is a funny guy. He came down and saw me a couple of weeks ago.
I saw it on his Twitter. He drove 3 hours
out of his way. Shout out to Brandon Avery for coming 3 hours out of his way. He was in Raleigh looking for an apartment. He's going to law school, so congrats, Brandon.
For Campbell, right?
Yeah, he's going to Campbell. He was looking for an apartment in Raleigh, and he was like, hey, man, what you doing for dinner? Or what you doing? And I was like, hey, I'm not doing anything. My wife was still at the beach. So I said, come on down. We'll go to the bar. We went to the bar across the street from my apartment.
Joymongers.
We went to Joymongers. And then we went over to, we went down and got some wings from East Coast and
nice.
Called it a day. So basically the question goes, with conference realignment coming in the next couple years, so I'm thinking 2024, 2025, that's when the next big conference realignment is going to happen. Where do you want to see ECU land? So we've talked about conference realignment before. It's been a big topic of discussion over the past 3 or 4 years, talking about where are we going to go since we joined the American Athletic Conference, not the ACC, those chump asses. But where would you like us to go, Daniel? If you had to pick one conference to go to, where would you like to see us go?
I don't know. I'd have to say I'd like to see ECU stay in the AAC.
And that's a good answer. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, a legit P6 school right now. There's a lot of good teams at the top, and I think, you know, by the time conference realignment comes around, I think ECU will be at the top of the AAC. And you know, I don't see that much a much better conference for ECU other than the AAC right now.
Plot twist, ECU playing the long game when they decided to hire Scotty Montgomery, knowing that at that time the Big 12 wasn't actually going to expand like they said they were. And they knew that conference realignment was coming up in 2025, and they knew that they could make a splash then.
Yeah.
But I agree with Daniel. I'd like to see us stay in the American. I think that's you think about it. We've got a lot of the big TV markets. You got Houston, you got Orlando, you've got Philadelphia, you've got that Baltimore, Maryland with Navy. I mean, and the Navy's like nationwide, worldwide. Mm-hmm. So you've got all of those. I mean, you got New Orleans, which, I mean, that's an okay TV market. And then you got some others like your Tulsa, Memphis is a pretty big one, but it's not like your Houston or Temple. So I'd like to see us stay in the American Conference. And I think with this last TV deal that we signed, this I think it's like $8 million per school that we get for the TV deal. I think that is I think that's really cool to see. Because no other G5, once again, if you're watching the podcast, I use air quotes around the G5 because I don't believe that's the right term. We are a P6, Power 6, baby. Put it on there. I think that's what we are. I gotta say, like, those schools, like the Pac-12, the ACC, like, they have the money, but they don't have the actual ability that I think that is in all of the leagues in the American. I mean, I think that the talent in the American is on par, if not ahead of the Pac-12 and the ACC, at least in football, other than Clemson and maybe USC. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, USC is good, what, once every 5 years? That's kind of the thing in the Pac-12. You have a team come out of nowhere every 5 years, and they make noise. You had Washington State, USC, Stanford every once in a while. So that's what I'm thinking. Stay in the American and then rock it till the end of time.
Yeah, I mean, I concur with the both of you. I don't really have too much more to add. I think the American is actually perfect for East Carolina University. I think we're in the perfect conference for us right now. I don't think the ACC can offer us anything that we can't get in the American. I don't think, you know, the Big 12 can offer us anything that we can't get in the American. The SEC is just not going to happen. So, you know, and when you look at the schools, UCF, Houston, you look at what SMU was able to do last year, turn their program
Cincinnati,
Memphis. I mean, these are legitimate football schools that crank out 9, 10, 11 win seasons every other year. So, you know, if ECU can get good enough to compete in this conference, and there's no doubt in my mind we can make it to a New Year's Six bowl game while being in the American.
Not to mention that, I mean, the American Athletic Conference is probably a top three conference in baseball, and I would say is a top four conference in basketball. That's just being completely honest. You got every year in basketball, you got Houston, you've got Cincinnati, you got Memphis, you got Temple every once in a while. You've got these schools that are always going to be good in basketball. Wichita State. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, we're being honest, our basketball team can't really compete with the teams in the American right now.
Not yet. And that goes back to a question we had a couple weeks ago when we were asked, okay, would we rather see us go to, or we asked it, would you rather us go to Omaha or to the college football New York Six game? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, like some people were talking about, hey, what about the NCAA tournament? I think that's in the next 5 years, but I don't think it's right now.
No, it's not where baseball and football is in my opinion. I mean, basketball, like, you know, like we said, it's not a rebuild. It can't be a rebuild if it was never built.
We've been building this thing since the mid 90s and still nothing to show for it other than a CIT championship. Shout out to Keem Richmond and.
Absolutely. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, former guest. So yeah, that's. I mean, I think if we had to pick one conference, if I had to pick one conference other than the American, and y'all can give yours too, I would personally like to probably see us go to the Big 12. I don't want to see us in the ACC. I think we should play those teams, those Big Four teams. I think we should all play each other every year. Or every other year, like I think that would be good for all programs involved. But I think going to the Big 12 is where we're gonna see the best competition and be able to fit in with everybody there.
I just think based off regionally, if we were to move to one of those conferences, I think the ACC is probably regionally the best conference
that
we can move to.
The ACC has already voted against us 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and I know, and I don't want to go to the ACC, but I also don't see us in the Big 12.
Fuck State.
I don't ever see us joining the Big 12. I just don't see it. I could be wrong.
Big 10?
I don't want to pull Maryland, because I don't think Maryland belongs in the Big 10, to be honest with you.
Rutgers?
Yeah, or Rutgers. But if I had to pick a conference, it'd probably be the ACC. I mean, SEC, like I said, that's just not going to happen. Even though I think if we become a great or a good program, you know, that would be something we should consider. But
well, they've been open about wanting to add a team from North Carolina.
And I think they should absolutely have a team.
But you're not gonna add one of those four schools. And so it really comes down to us and App, and you look at the track record. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, App, but you've only been a FBS school for, what, 3 years, 4 years now? So, sorry, you hit the curb.
But program-wise, you can't deny the program.
I'm
talking strictly football. Program-wise, they're up there.
They're up there for having an FCS, a great FCS program. They are, but, I mean, they're also playing in the Sun Belt. Yeah. Like, Sun Belt is, like, one step above FCS. And if anybody is listening that's a Sun Belt fan, if you want to hop in my DMs and talk to me about it, do it. I dare you.
No, I will say this. Moving from the Conference USA to the American was the greatest thing we ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Staying in the Conference USA was not something we should have done. So, I think the American really is the best conference we can be in right now.
Yeah, and if you had to pick, Daniel, what one conference would you like to see us go to if it's not the American?
I'm probably going to say the ACC too, because I think there's going to be a big shift in the next few years, especially with all this financial stuff these teams are going through of regional scheduling, and even in conference, you know, trying to stay as close to home as possible. I don't know if ECU could get into the ACC in the next few years, but I think that could probably be the next closest thing, next closest conference they could end up in, you know, 5-10 years.
Okay. Now, let me ask, I saw this question asked on Twitter, not to us specifically, but I thought it was an interesting question that talking about conference realignment has kind of got me thinking about this question as well. Thinking about, okay, if you could get rid of one team in the American Athletic Conference and replace it with any other team, so say you want to get rid of Tulane, but you want to replace them with, I don't know, let's just say Oral Roberts for just for shits and giggles. Like, if you had to pick one team to get rid of and add another university in, it could be any university. Yet, but it has to be like reasonable. Like, you have to give a reasonable explanation as to why. And I mean, we'll leave Alabama and Auburn and like those big like ones that aren't leaving their conferences. We'll leave them out. But if y'all had to pick one, who would it be?
Oh boy.
Like for me, I'll go ahead and start it off. I am probably getting rid of Tulane. Like, nobody likes to. I mean, New Orleans is fun, but like nobody wants to go down there. They don't really have much going for them. Every once in a while, they're decent in baseball, but they don't really have anything else going for them. And then I'm adding – who am I adding? I'm adding – oh, man.
Well, you know, isn't the AAC already looking for a 12th team since UConn left? So,
Yeah.
So, all right, so we'll say scrap UConn. Who do you want to see join the American? Boise?
That was actually
going to
be my pick.
Boise? BYU? I mean, I think that's got to be your top two. I wouldn't mind seeing them add three.
BYU's an independent, right?
Yeah.
And I think they like being an independent. I don't see them wanting to join any conference.
Well, the thing with BYU being an independent, they like their TV deal. They have their own TV deal with BYU TV. And then I think that's what you'll see is they like their TV deal, but they would also like to take the money from ESPN that we've got.
I think as far as natural fit though, I think Boise State would fit into the American flawlessly, to be honest with you. If I had to pick one, I think Boise would be a very, very good. And then that gives us our West Coast team, you know?
Yeah.
So
I also wouldn't mind seeing like a San Diego State. Add them in at least in basketball.
Yeah. I can see San Diego State.
But could you imagine having to go play San Diego State and just for a basketball game, playing ECU, traveling all the way out to San Diego, That would be some shit. That's just being honest. And I think if we add a team, we've got to add them in all sports. We're not going to add a team just in one sport. The Americans already said that. We're not going to do that. So last question, we had another question from Petey. All right. We won't answer all of these because I think we've kind of talked about dark horses, and we can talk about this as we get closer to the season, dark horse players on both sides of the ball. But let's talk about upsets, okay? Upsets either for or against for ECU this year. So Petey asked, okay, if you're going to – who are we most likely to upset, and who are we most likely to be upset by? I think the upset by is probably the hardest question, hardest part of that question, because I don't know how many teams we're going to be a favorite against, just looking at what we're doing this season. Artie, do you have any idea?
A team that I can see that might upset us, don't forget Georgia State. We're going to Atlanta. We're playing in what, Old Turner Field? Never been there, never played on that.
Chop on, baby.
Right. And I want to say Georgia State had a pretty decent.
They were the only team to beat App State last year.
Yeah, they were a pretty good team. So if there was going to be a team that I would say might upset us, if it, you know, quote unquote,
I could see that.
In ECU standards, I would pick Georgia State.
I could see that. Daniel, you got any ideas?
I'm going to go with a team that ECU could upset. I think Navy. Probably be the easiest conference team, just because I was looking, Blake Harrell at Kennesaw State, you know, they ran the triple option, and you know, he had to defend against that in practice, and you know, he was around that a lot. So Navy's playing ECU in Greenville this year. I think that could be a good candidate to upset Navy there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with one that I think we could see ECU pull an upset.
Something's happening.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, do y'all just have like a weird audio glitch?
Did we go over?
Can you hear me?
Still on?
Can you guys hear me?
But we're muted. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
I don't know why. It said our speakers were muted for some reason.
I got like a weird audio glitch where you just kept saying the same word over and over again. It was weird.
Okay, wow. Okay, well, I thought we weren't going to have to do as much editing. All right, so I'm going to start back. All right, so I'm just going to start my... Okay. Ready? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start off. I'm going to say that, I mean, I think we're going to go in and have an upset. We're going to walk in to Williams-Brice Stadium down in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're going to punch the Gamecocks in the mouth, and we're going to come out with a W. Last time we were there, we should have won.
We should have won. And this is our second game of the season. Then we're coming off a bye week, too.
Yeah, so I think that there's an opportunity there for us to actually make some noise and come in and maybe steal a win. They've got to play Coastal Carolina the week before, mm-hmm. but they still, like, we'll have 2 weeks to prepare for that game. People say, the travel and things like that. Well, the travel is not that big of a difference. It's only like a 2 or 3 hour drive, mm-hmm. And then also the fact that the weather doesn't change really from Greenville, North Carolina to Columbia, South Carolina. Maybe a little more humid, but not much. Especially not in especially not in September when it's hot as shit. So I mean I gotta think that we're gonna be ready to play that South Carolina team. And hopefully we'll be coming off a big win against Marshall.
Absolutely.
An emotional win, an emotional game. Ride that for 2 weeks. Get pumped up for South Carolina. Get pumped up for South Carolina and go in and win that game.
If there was one that I had to add, one upset that I think we can pull off, and I think this is something that all Pirate Nation wants to see, it's that Thursday night game against those Knights from Orlando.
I could see that.
It's in the fifth Thursday night game in the fifth. I mean, that's just setting it up to be, you know.
Wouldn't that be coming full circle, playing UCF on a Thursday night? In the FIC and upsetting them since that Thursday night game in the FIC back in 2015, 2016.
Was that the last time we played them in the FIC?
No. We played them 2 years ago in the FIC. Played them every year. So.
Why don't you play them every year? I was trying to remember when that Hail Mary game was.
That was
2015. Okay, I didn't know it was that long ago.
Yeah, no. It was 2014 or 2015, I think.
Either way, though. UCF Thursday night in the FIC. I think that's one that we can actually win.
Yeah. Okay, Daniel, do you think anything about who might upset us?
Probably go with Georgia State, like y'all were mentioning there. Just, you know, a non-conference game there on the road in Atlanta. I don't think ECU has ever played Georgia State, have they? So. Unfamiliarity there, so that game will probably kind of be a toss-up in my mind, just with the road environment and all that. So I think that's probably the most likely to happen there.
Yeah, I mean I could see that happening. I wouldn't be too surprised. A team that I could see probably pulling an upset. I'm gonna try to go to someone. An upset. I'm going to try to get someone off the wall. It's kind of hard to go with anybody off the wall when you're looking at this
schedule
other than Georgia State. I mean, I think that I don't know if it would be really considered an upset, but a team that I would watch out for, they've kind of had our number over the last couple of years. I'd probably say Tulsa. That's one of those games that is just like we've just for some reason had some problems with over the last couple of years, but that's what I would probably have to say. Thanks for those Twitter questions, guys, and we're gonna wrap this thing up. We've been going for about an hour and 15 minutes now, so we're gonna wrap it up. Daniel, thank you for coming on. PirateAnalysis.com.
Absolutely. Definitely going to go check that website out.
Make sure y'all are checking it out. Daniel, do you have any final thoughts?
I don't think so, guy. I'm just excited for sports to get back in football season here. Been a while since we've seen any live college athletics. So thanks for having me on. Great time. Appreciate everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Daniel, we appreciate your time.
Artie, final thoughts.
Oh, man, final thoughts. I'm just going to reiterate, you know, what Danny just said. I'm really excited just to get back to sports. You know, we're getting close to it. You know, it's June. Everybody's starting to come back. Things are starting to reopen. We're not out of the woods yet. You know, we're like you said earlier, we're not doctors. We're not scientists. We don't know what's really going on as far as the cases. I just know the death toll isn't really rising. But just excited to get back to sports. Excited to talk about some live action sports. I mean, we've been dragging these episodes out. We've been doing good with these episodes, but I'm ready to talk about some real live action.
That's what I told Savannah the other day. I was like I have fun recording the podcast,
right?
But it would be a lot more fun when I have something real to talk about. So my final thought, guys, I would say first I want to say Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there, all you Pirate dads. Happy Father's Day. Shout out to y'all. I think that's, hey, we talked about it. Thank you for bringing us into the world to be pirates and be rowdy people. So shout out to y'all. I had a great lunch with my dad today. I'm going to go out with my stepdad later on this week. So that's first things first. Second, just wanted to say, I'm ready for sports, man. I've been watching golf, been getting into it. I mean, Artie, you and I, we talk about, we play golf every once in a while. We play golf every other week or so. Starting to actually watch it because there's nothing else on. Hey, my boy Harold Varner didn't make the cut this week. It's going to be all right. We're going to come back. I think next week's the Travelers. Gonna play well in that. Other than that, we're gonna go on Bryson DeChambeau. My big boys out there. I'm a big boy too. So shout out to you, Bryson. Then also thank you, Daniel, for joining us. Had a blast. I think this was a fun episode. I hope all of you liked it. So make sure to follow us on our social media channels: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us at Boneyard Podcast, or you can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Breaker. We're on all of them. Overcast. We're on a lot of them, guys. The only two we're not on right now, we're not on SoundCloud, we're not on Stitcher. We're still working on those. I promise they're coming. Sorry, that's really hard to work with those guys. But yeah, make sure you're following us. Leave us a review. Leave us a review. Maybe we'll read it out. If you leave us a funny one, we'll read it out on the podcast. So leave us a review.
Feedback is everything, people.
And I said that we would have the website up. The website is done, people. I promise you. We already not just have to work out some final kinks. We're going to have that thing up and live by the end of this week. But it is done. It's finished. Finito. We're ready to go. You'll be able to see our blogs. You'll be able to listen to our podcast there. And once we get this URL sorted out, we'll be ready to go, okay? So, anybody else got anything else? All right.
Good.